Okay, I would like to continue on from the profound concept we started talking about last week. I quoted from Rabbi Nayona. Rabbi Nayona is one of the early commentators on the Talmud. When he speaks about the concept that the Gemara in Brachos says, the Gemara says, anyone who... The words of the Gemara go like this: Kol akoyveya mokoim letfiloso yaloike Avram yihye be'ezroi. An individual who sets a permanent place for himself to daven, he will merit to have the same measure of siyata. And Rabbi Nayona went on to explain why is it such a big deal to have a set place for davening, that the reward for that, the return for that is such a profound measure of heavenly assistance. Said Rabbi Nayona, and we mentioned that last week, that it's first... We took note that he learns that location that individual should have for davening primarily refers to a situation when a person davens from home, not when he davens in shul. When an individual davens in shul, he says, the entire shul is considered to be in kula mokom tfiloi, the entire home, the entire shul is considered to be a place of davening, but at home, that's not the case. At home is used for other purposes as well. And therefore, when a person davens from home, there is a need for him to set place for him to daven. Question, Rabbi Nayona, what is the big deal of having an assigned seat, an assigned place for him? So he concluded by saying, and that is where I kind of want to start off my talk today. He said like this: an individual who has a set place, it reflects on the fact that the individual seems to care very much about davening. A person who cares very much about davening must be, he loves to daven. A person who loves to daven, here comes the key point that matters for our discussion today, must possess the characteristic of humility. An individual who cares and loves davening so much that he sets a unique, a very special assigned place for him, must be, he possesses the midah of anava, the midah of humility. An individual who has the characteristic of humility, such a person, it certainly will be able to daven with proper intent, with proper kavana, and such an individual will certainly have his tefillah accepted by Hashem. That was so. We notice, and that came to the end of the class last time. There is a concept called davening with a midah of anava, davening when humility is part and parcel of the experience of davening. I want to elaborate on that. What does it mean to have and possess humility in davening? For that, I turn back in the same tractate of Brachos, one page earlier, where the Gemara brings down another concept, a concept that says that actually we act on that in halacha as well, that the Gemara says, if you want to know who is ben o'olam haba, ezehu ben o'olam haba, who is a person who will merit the world to come, says the Gemara, the person who will merit a world to come is an individual. I will read the words of the Gemara. Ezehu ben o'olam haba, Zehasoimech geula letfila. The specific words, Geula shel arvis letfilo shel arvis. Meaning to say, if an individual would open up the Siddur and you would follow the order of the davening, you will find that there is a blessing that concludes after we say the Shema. We conclude with a bracha that says, Baruch Ato Hashem, Goal Yisrael. After we conclude Goal Yisrael, the individual ideally should begin Shmoneh Esrei immediately. In fact, we followed that very, very carefully in halacha, in particular in the morning. In the morning davening, right after say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Goal Yisrael, according to halacha, a person must begin Shmoneh Esrei immediately. A person should not interrupt, even with shul announcements, of page numbers or reminders to say Yale V'Yavoy or any of that. After a person says the word Goal Yisrael, one should immediately start Shmoneh Esrei. So those shuls who may have, they may make announcements, those announcements should not be said after the person uttered the words, Baruch Ato Hashem Goal Yisrael. Rabbi Yoina asks the same question that we mentioned last week in regard to the concept of having an assigned seat when he davens at home. He asks the same question over here. And he says, I'll read the language. The language of his question is beautiful. V'chi mipnei she'soymech ge'ula letfila yesh lo yischar kol kach? Is it so? Does it make sense that since an individual said Baruch Ato Hashem Goal Yisrael and immediately after begun Shmoneh Esrei, is that something that deserving a reward that he is ben Olam Haba? What is the big deal about starting the Shmoneh Esrei immediately after concluding the words Goal Yisrael? So ask the Rabbeinu Yoina, why is it such a big deal? Wow. So he says like this. The Oimer Moiri Arav. He's quoting his Rebbe. He says, I heard an understanding, an explanation from my Rebbe, and who explained the immense reward for the person who says Shmoneh Esrei right after he said the words Goal Yisrael. And he said like this, I will not read it word for word here, although the words that he chooses is really, really beautiful, but it's a little bit lengthy. I will say that in English. Let me say it like this. And my Rebbe said like this, the reason why the person merits such great reward is because of the following. Mipnei. That Hashem has taken us out of Mitzrayim, redeemed us, and took us out of Egypt in order for us to be his servants. Just to understand that the word Goal Yisrael is said right after we finish discussing the Exodus from Egypt. Yet the Shema ended off saying the words Ani Hashem, the Shema is a build up towards that final statement that Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. That is like the climax of Shema. After we finish that, whether we say it in the morning, we go on to the passage that begins with Vayatziv. Whether we say it in the evening when we go to the passage that begins Ve'amuna, whether it's Ashkenaz, whether it's Sfarad, everybody focuses on the same thing. This statement of Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Oitzesi Eschem Yeretz Mitzrayim, ends off with the word Hashem Elokeichem MS. And when we say it in the shul, in fact, the custom is for the chazan, the one who leads the service, in fact, to repeat the word MS, Hashem Elokeichem MS. And then we move on to whether what I'm going to say is true for the morning and it's true for the night, regardless of the choice of words, that the passage is a little bit different. The way I heard it once is so beautiful. This one statement of Hani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem your God, Asher Oitzesi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, that I took you out of Egypt. And that concludes with a proclamation, truth, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. That expression of Emes is really, we declare with truth that final sentence, that Hashem Elokeichem Emes. We take it now in our own language, or in the language, remember that the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem, these are the words from the pasuk, these are the words from the verse. The Torah, this is the Torah language. Yeah, it's from the Parsha of Shema that says Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yetzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Yeah, that's a verse from the Torah. You want now for us to take that statement and that declaration of Emes, we elaborate that declaration of MS, of truth, in our own language, or in the language, we could say in the language of the men of the great assembly who put together the words of the prayer. There are passages that elaborate what that truth means for me. That truth means, just as an example for the morning, it means ve'yatzi ve'nochay ve'kayom ve'yoshor ve'nemon ve'ol ve'chaviv ve'nechmod ve'noyim ve'noira. There's so many different words that describe that expression of truth, and continues on to say that truth is the truth that Hashem is with us, and Hashem has taken us out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem is with us at anytime we are in trouble, and that is something we pass on to our children. All that is that which we say after we proclaim that to be an expression of truth. We elaborated on that in our own language. Let me explain to you what that means to us. It means halo rishonim v'halo acharonim dover. That is true for the older generations, and that's true for the later generation, and that is true that Hashem is always here for us. There is an outpouring of expression and elaboration what that statement meant. That elaboration, that is, so the insight that I'm sharing with you, that to me was so profound when I heard it for the first time, that I'm just explaining to you the magnitude of that statement, and that concludes with the following. Okay, I'll make a reference. I'll use the morning davening, and the morning davening. Oh, after I elaborated on that and I explained that declaration of truth, I say Tzur Yisroel Kuma. Okay, so some shuls on Shabbos will sing it, and on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur may have an interesting tune to it. We say the Rock of Israel, arise to aid of Israel, and liberate as you pledged Yehuda v'Yisroel. We take that expression of truth and we connect it to our present state, and we say that is the same declaration, or the same emuna that we have with Hashem Asher Oitzesi Eschem. That means Hashem is a redeemer. Hashem is a redeemer. And that is the one, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, in present tense. Goal Yisrael is in present tense. That is the same source of redemption, and the same source of power, and the same source of Ani Hashem Elokeichem. We conclude with Baruch Atah Hashem, you are the source of all redemption, Goal Yisrael. Okay. So now we got kind of a special I kind of energized the expression of that emuna. Comes the Gemara now and says, now stand and daven Shmon Esra. Right now, stand and daven. What's so special about davening Shmon Esra immediately after? Okay, so that was the question we presented for Rabbi Yoina. What is the big deal? So now I'm going back now to Yetzias Mitzrayim. He said like this. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who took us out of Mitzrayim, which we elaborated on that concept just before, he did that for the purpose, liyoseinu loy la'avodim, to become his servants. That whole drama and that whole ordeal that Hashem is a redeemer and redeemed us and took us out of Egypt, it is for a purpose of liyos loy la'avodim. There was a purpose to that. And he brings a source to support that. Fine. So it says like this. In the blessing of Goal Yisrael, we mention the kindness that Hashem has done with us, that he took us out of Egypt. Now, he took us out of Egypt to be his servants. Vehatfila hi avoida. As I stand before him to daven Shmon Esra, now I take that declaration of truth that I connect with the fact that he redeemed me from Mitzrayim, and now I am acting as an eved. I'm acting as a servant. And now, v'hatfilo hi avoido. Now I am serving him as a servant serving a master. Yeah, and he brings a source to the fact that tfila is called avoida. Yeah, he brings a source. I want to continue on. Listen to this. He says, so when the person mentioned the Exodus from Egypt, when he mentioned that Goal Yisrael, when he mentioned Kshumaskir Yetzias Mitzrayim, And he demonstrates umispalel miyad. If he translates that to an immediate, it has an immediate reaction. And the immediate reaction is, just like the servant, he says, that his master owns him, must serve him as his master wants, so too, when we acknowledged the fact, the goodness and the redemption, that which he redeemed us, we declare that we are his servants. So we serve him. And since he shows with a davening that we are his servants, and why are we his servants? Since I just finished telling you, he redeemed me from Mitzrayim. So he made me his servant. Comes out that clearly ba'avur ze zoicha lechaye yo'olam haba. We raise the question, why from Goal Yisrael, saying right away, standing up to serve, to daven, to say Shmon Esra, why is that such a big deal? Says Rabbeinu Yoina, I'll tell you why. Because what happened in the section before, we declared that we are his servants. What we do by not pausing and not stopping between that and Shmon Esra, immediately I turn my observation to an action. That means I observe the fact that he took me out of Mitzrayim. And once he took me out of Mitzrayim, I recognize my state of being, and my state of being is that I'm his servant. Once I recognize that he is his servant, it translates immediately to an act of avdus. What does that have to do with humility that I started speaking about last week? The understanding is like this. Humility is a reality that a person does not give himself any credit. He attributes his existence and his qualities to a higher source. What's the opposite of humility? Gaiva. Gaiva is a person who's carrying himself we translate it as haughtiness. Gaiva is that sense that I'm in control. Humility is an expression that I am not in control. That is precisely what a servant is. As he quoted in Halacha, he mentions the concept, there's an expression in the Gemara regarding the acquisition, the power of acquisition of a servant that doesn't really exist. Anything that a servant acquires goes immediately to his master. The idea of a servant is that he has no self. He has no self-will. He has no self-desire. He is subject completely to the will of his master. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim for the purpose of Avdus, that means to say he took us out in order to come to that recognition that we are completely dependent on him. What is the greatest expression? What is the greatest experience of expressing the fact that we are not in control? That is what we do by davening. Shmoneh Esrei is that section of davening where we say, intellect is from you. Redemption from you. Even tshuva is from you. Even repentance is from you. Slicha u'mechila, forgiving on sins, that's from you. Healing, that's from you. Our livelihood, that's from you. If you think about it, that is what we do throughout the Shmoneh Esrei. It is a declaration over and over how I am nothing, I cannot produce, and I attribute all my possessions and all my capabilities all to Hashem. So, atochoinen le'odom da'as. You are the one who provides intellect and ability to think. I just want to use just a tiny example with that a person should be marveled. Every time you get into a car and you drive to a destination, whether the destination is the store or the destination is work or the destination is back home, we take for granted that our mind, that we have an element of memory, that I know directions and I know how to get from place A to place B. Furthermore, I remember where I want to go and I know how to drive. Well, atochoinen le'odom das. Even such simple ability of thinking and remembering such mundane matters is something that we say, atochoinen le'odom das. You are choinen ados. You are the one who so graciously is gifting me with ability to have thoughts, to think, to remember, to understand. This is an expression of avdus. Here I'm connecting the humility with this concept. The Gemara calls it Ben O'Olam Haba. We started talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. We could go ahead and strengthen our emunah, strengthen our faith in the history of the Jewish people, that we came out of Egypt. Now, all that can be good and fine in terms of passing a Jewish history exam. I know what happened. I know the story of the Jewish people. That's not enough. That's not enough for a person to be a Ben Olam Haba. Ben Olam Haba is when the person takes this knowledge and translates that into an act of humility where I recognize and proclaim prayer after prayer that because of that, I am his servant. And the definition of a servant is that I have nothing. Ooh, that's what we learned last week too. We learned last week that a person who cherishes his davening is a person which you could tell if the person has an assigned place for davening. It shows that he loves that experience. That is an experience of a person who possesses the characteristic of anova. And a person who's anova, like the Gemara said, and that we said already last week, that after his death, people will talk about what a humble person he was, what a pious person he was. So we took note that Rabbi Yoina says that the fact that he possesses the characteristic of humility, he's subject to such great assistance from heaven. And today we took it a little bit a step further. We explain that the characteristic of humility that takes expression in davening is that expression that I act upon my belief in the Exodus from Egypt. I act upon that, and it's, apparently it must be crucial that it's done miyad, that it's done immediately, without any interruptions. And that is what the Gemara was saying. Somebody who's asoymech ge'ula letfila is a person that immediately after the recognition of who, that we came out and we are servants and Hashem is our master, immediately I translate that to a performance of humility. That gives us somewhat of a better understanding to the experience and the meaning of what happens by davening. We humble ourselves before the Almighty by expressing and recognizing that we are not a cause of anything that we have. My time is up over here. Hopefully next week we'll continue on this subject of humility in davening. But somehow it gives a little bit of a perspective to what is ma'aseh atfila. What are we doing by davening? What we're doing is not only uttering words, we are acting upon our state of avdus. We act upon that by submitting in prayer that there is nothing that we contribute to ourselves. Everything comes from the source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you so much for joining me. I believe Rabbi Melamed will come up to give his class now on halacha. And once again, thank you so very much. I see Rabbi Melamed is here. Welcome aboard.
Okay, thank you everyone for joining. It's really a beautiful thing to join together for chizuk and in halacha is a very important thing, very chashuv to Hashem. So I want to discuss this week the halacha is the laws of Ashina Makam, which means a change of location. A change of location regarding a bracha, which happens to be pretty complicated. But I'm hoping to break it down pretty simply, and I think at this point we're gonna have to break it into two separate shiurim classes on this topic, one this week and then one next week, and I don't even know if we'll cover everything. We might have to go on to the third week. But at least we'll try to keep it clear, and I have this outline, which should hopefully make it easier to follow along. So we discussed last week in the Hashkafa, the ideas behind brachos, that the intention that we have by a bracha, that's a major part of the bracha. The whole concept of a bracha is in order to help us focus on different awarenesses we have to have about Hashem, God, about what He does for us, that He owns everything, being thankful. So we'll see, in general, in the laws of brachas, it's something that keeps on coming up. We mentioned this, that the intention that a person has and the kavanah, the thought process of the bracha is really an integral part of the bracha, and we'll have a lot of different halachic laws that come out based on whether someone wasn't thinking properly, they thought something different about the item. There's many, many different laws that have to do with this idea that a person didn't have the right intention, or there's a lapse of intent that could change the halacha with the bracha. So we're going to speak specifically today with the way that a shinui makom, a change of location, can do that. So the simple concept is that if a person made a bracha on something, they sat down in their house, and then they left a different location, on a general basis, there are certain times that that will be considered a hesach hadas, will be considered a lapse of intent, and we're going to say that your bracha needs to constantly be part of the thought process of your eating of different items, and even the original item has to be part of a constant continuation of your original intent. And when you change a different place, so that's gonna say that's a lapse in intent. There are certain Rishonim, medieval authorities, who explain the idea of shinui makom, of changing location, very differently, and they explain that it's a much more powerful thing than just not thinking, not a lapse in intention, but it's actually a powerful action of separation from your meal. And that will have certain halachic differences from the way we're explaining it, which is actually a disagreement between the Chaber, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah, which that's where the question of Sfaradim and Ashkenazim is going to come in here, because generally, the Sfaradim will follow the Shulchan Aruch, who's going with this other idea of an actual interruption in the meal without much more than just intention. But the main halacha, even for Sfaradim in this case, is going to, at least from what I'm going to say over, is going to follow their Amah on a general note. And again, basically what we're saying is, by switching the place, going somewhere else where changing location from where the bracha was made and from where the original meal was had can be considered a lapse of intention, and it may require a new bracha. So we'll get back to that, but there's many different factors that could go into this. And as you can see on the screen, number two is what kind of meal. It could depend on what the person is eating when they made the bracha, whether or not we're going to consider changing location on Hesach Hadas, an interruption of intent. It could be a different halacha if the person started the meal indoors, outdoors. There's different halachas if someone stayed behind, if the person was eating with the group, and let's say everyone except for one person left. A lot of the times that will actually make that's leaving the first location will not be considered an interruption, since there's someone that stayed behind. And there's also halachas about, aside from, some of it has to do with the halachas that come straight out of interruption of intent, a lapse of intent. Some of them are based on other halachas, but it's not always permitted initially to go out of the first location without first making a bracha, after bracha, before leaving. So I'm going to try going in order of those three things. In order of these topics here, and we're the fifth question, the fifth number five again, is about whether you're allowed to leave or not leave. We're mainly just going to focus here on what happened if someone did leave. We're not going to get into that in this year about whether you're allowed to leave or not allowed to leave, maybe a little bit, but mainly we're just focusing on throwing the bracha in one place. They were having their meal, they ate something, and then they got up, they left somewhere else, and now either they're in the other location or they returned. What is halacha? Do they need a new bracha? Okay, so One, so in number one, we're saying changing location may require a new bracha. B is that this idea of hesach hadas, of interruption of a lapse of intent, is not going to affect the after bracha. It's not going to affect the bracha achrayna. So let's say someone was eating in a house, and then they washed, let's say, and they, or let's say they didn't wash, they sat down to have a cup of tea or something, and then they left their house for a pretty long time. They went out of their house, a couple blocks away, they went to a neighbor, which we'll see is considered a hesach hadas. They're going to come back. They're going to need a new bracha rishayna. They're going to need to make a new shahakol to start drinking their tea again. But if, let's say, they're not drinking their tea anymore, they just start drinking their tea, they didn't make a brain of fascist, they left, they come back, that absence and that lapse in intent is not going to affect the law of the brain of fascist. So whatever the case is, you still have to make a bracha achrayna, even if you left somewhere, and we'll see certain cases you're really obligated to return to the original location to make the bracha achrona. But the main, at least the way the Ramah's understanding this, that this is about hesach hadas, it's about lapse in intent. Lapse in intent is not going to affect the bracha achrona, and it's just, we're just talking about the bracha rishona. Again, that is according to Ramah. And that's the halacha that we're going to be talking about. And then the C over here, C in one, is that the halacha over here about going to a new location in general is going to be the same both regarding the new place you went and regarding the place you left. So, for instance, if someone sat down, they started having some cereal and milk, and then they had to run an errand. They forgot to make a bracha achrona, an after bracha. They left. So, first of all, if they want to eat in the supermarket, they have to make new bracha there. But even if they come back to their first location, since there's a lapse of intent, they're going to have to make a new bracha in the first location also. Or if you might have a case where there's no hesach hadas, so even if someone made the first bracha in the first place and they left, they may even be able to eat in the second place without making a new first bracha. So in general, unless we specify it, we're treating both the place where a person went and whether the person returned to the original location as the same halacha. If you need a new bracha, it's whether you're in a new place or whether you went away from the first place and came back. You need a new bracha in the first place. And if you don't need a new bracha, generally, it's not going to be required both in the place of the first bracha and in the original bracha and wherever you went. Okay, we'll explain that further. Okay, is that basically clear so far? Anyone have any questions? I didn't really get so far yet. But anyone have any questions? Oh, I think everyone's muted. I guess you could, I think you can unmute yourself if you have a question at any time. I'm going to assume there are no questions. Okay, so the first thing we're going to talk about, because this is, you know, really a basic question you have to ask yourself when you're dealing with these halachas, is what kind of meal are we talking about? What was the person eating? Were they eating a bread meal? Were they eating cereal? Were they eating a snack? Were they eating ice cream? Were they having a drink? What were they eating? So, again, we're explaining the Ramah, which is the halacha that is going to mainly apply for Sfaradim also. That if a person washed and had a kezayis, you have to have a kezayis and olives worth of bread, so then leaving that place is not going to be considered a shina makom. And let's explain why that is. The reason that this is, and this will also explain the following, the B, C, and D, is that when a person washes and is obligated to bench, say brachas hamazon, we'll say it the other way, that there are certain situations where if a person is obligated to make an after bracha, and they went away from that place. They were in their house, they were supposed to bench, and then they forgot about benching, and they went to their office. So there are certain times that they're obligated to return to the first place and to make the bracha achrona there. There are certain ways of getting out of that. They eat again in the new place, so then they could recite the bracha achrona in the new place. But if they're not eating in the new place, if someone is obligated to make certain after brachas from eating in one place and they left, they have to go back to make those after brachas. And the question is, which brachas does that apply to? So everyone agrees if someone ate bread, a kezias, an olive worth of bread, and didn't bench and they left, that they have to come back. Unless, again, there's ways of getting out of that if you eat kezias in a new place where you are, but without getting around it, if you had a kezias of bread, you left, you have to go back. And with regards to things from the five grains, wheat and barley and the five grains from that you recite al mechia, it's a question if you're obligated to go back. And we mainly rule that you have to go back. The main sock in which we agree from the Ronagain is that if someone had five grains, foods from the five grains, cookies, cakes, crackers, all these things, and they leave before making a bracha achrona, after bracha, they have to return to the first place. And regarding the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, the different fruits, and drinking wine, there it's more questionable if they're obligated to return when they left. Again, they ate something from the seven species, or they drank wine, they were supposed to make after bracha, they left. There's a question if they're obligated to return. So basically what we're saying here is the main concern of a hetzach hadas, that when a person made a bracha rishonah, first before bracha, and they left, is that it's a lapse of intent from the original bracha. So what we say over here is that if you have to always return back to the first place, because you have to make a bracha achrona there, let's say someone washed, right? So they washed in the house and then they went to the store. We're trying to decide if we can still see a connection between their original blessing that they made and where they are now. If they always have to go back to the original place where their house, where they started, because that's the halacha that if you didn't bench, you have to go back to the first place, we're going to be able to see a continuation from the first blessing. So basically, the way that this is going to work is that any time if you did not make the bracha achrona, the after bracha, before leaving the first location, you're obligated to return to make the bracha achrona, that will not be considered a hetzach hadas. So if someone, and we mentioned that if you ate bread, you for sure have to go back. If you ate mizonos, we mainly rule that you also have to go back. If you ate something else from the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, it's questionable if you have to go back. So that's going to translate that if someone, A, eats a kezias, an olive's worth of bread, and then they leave, that's never going to be a hetzach hadas. We're always going to see a continuation and a connection to their original blessing. And even if they leave, since technically they have to return to the original location, they can eat wherever they are based on the original hamotzi. Generally, hamotzi, you don't make most brachas at all while you're in the middle of a meal that you wash. So they're basically not going to have to make any brachas. And that's whether they return to the first place or even if someone's going to come out. Someone washed in their home, and they left the store, they washed, they ate the kezias, they have to eat the olive's worth, they went to the store, and now they want to drink something in the store. They do not need to make a bracha on that item, both in the store they won't need a bracha, and when they return home, they will not need to make new brachas when they continue eating. Initially, a person is not supposed to leave without benching, but there are certain situations, Mishnah Berurah says, if someone has expressed intent when they made the original bracha of Hamotzi that they want to start off eating in one place and relocate to a different place with washing of bread, that is acceptable. That if they're having in mind when they're originally making the blessing on bread and they're eating a kezias, that they want to move to a new location, then that's perfectly acceptable. There's different people will do this with Shalosh Shodes. Let's say they want to start in one place, and relocate to a different place. So you have it in mind when you wash that you are planning on starting your meal, a bread meal in your house, and then you're going to finish it somewhere else. You go somewhere else, you can eat whatever you want there, and you bench it. And that's, again, because if you wouldn't eat somewhere else, you would have to always return to the first place. So we can always see this connection between the original bracha, the original blessing of Hamotzi, and whatever you're eating afterwards in any location. It would follow that it would be the same thing regarding mizonos, that if someone ate, if someone made a mizonos on five grains, the halacha is you make mizonos, we recite mizonos on rice, but that's not going to be part of it because it's not one of the five grains. But if someone has anything from wheat, from barley, cake, crackers, cookies, and they made the bracha in one place and they left, and that is not considered a hasek hadas, and they can return to the original place and continue eating based on the first bracha, and they can eat something else in the new place also based on that bracha. However, regarding mizonos, there's an interesting distinction, which is that some posts can feel that if, again, this is the scenario we're talking about, is someone sat down in their house, they started eating a piece of cake, they had a kezias and olives worth, and then they did not make an after bracha, they went to their friend's house for a little bit to talk to them, which we'll hopefully get to. You leave your house, that's a hasek hadas. But since it's mizonos, so they can return to the first place and they can continue eating and they can eat in the second place. However, what's going to be different here is that if in the first place in their home, let's say they were eating cake and a coffee, they made mizonos and they made shahako. So the fact that we were saying there's no hasek hadas because there's mizonos means when they come back to their house, they can continue eating their cake, and they can continue drinking their coffee, and they can continue eating or drinking anything which was covered by both the mizonos and shahako that they made at home. But in the new place where they located to, there's some opinions that the mizonos carries over from their house to their friend's house, and if their friend offers them some cake, they could eat the cake. But if their friend also offers them a coffee, then they need a new shahako in the new location. So it's not so clear. So if that happens to someone, if they start off in their house, they made mizonos and they made shahako on cake and on the drink, and then they went to their friend's house, they can eat as much cake as they want, and they can eat pretzels and anything else which is mizonos, but they should not drink a drink there, because that's going to be questionable if they need to make a new bracha in that case. And regarding the seven species, that's also going to be very unclear, because we're saying whether or not we're going to consider a hesach hadas for leaving your original location depends whether you're obligated to return back to the first location to make a bracha achrona if you didn't. And it's very questionable if you're obligated to return to the first location to make that bracha achrona if it was just the other seven species of Eretz Yisrael or one. So it's unclear if it's a hesach hadas or not. So a person should try as much as possible if for whatever reason they're forced to, if there's a possibility they're going to have to leave, they should do whatever they can to try to avoid this question and at least make the bracha achrona before they leave, because once they leave and come back, it's not going to be clear if that's hasek hadas whether they need a new bracha or not. In the event that someone, again, they sat down, they were eating grapes, and they left their house and they didn't make the bracha achrona, and now they come back, so since it's a question whether now that's hasek hadas and they need to make a new hay, or if it's not a hasek hadas, they should not make a new bracha. If they want to eat, then they can still eat, because we learned last week when there's a doubt regarding brachos, then you're able to be lenient. But it's not a simple thing to get into, so it's preferable with regards to seven species of Eretz Yisrael to avoid leaving your original location without making the proper after blessing before leaving. Regarding any other kind of food, since there it's clear that you don't have to return to make the bracha achrona if you left without making the bracha achrona, so any other kind of food is not going to have these different halachos, and that will clearly have the halachos of Hetzel Hadas, which in itself, sometimes we say you need a new bracha, sometimes you don't. But basically, on a basic level, we're saying when we're discussing whether there's a question at all in the first place, if someone needs a new bracha because of leaving the original location, you have to ask yourself, what did you eat? If it was bread, then it's no question. You don't need a new bracha, and you can even eat in a new location without a bracha. The same thing with mizonos. It's not going to be a hesach hadas. You can continue eating whatever you were eating in the first location when you return. And in the new location, you can rely on whatever, you can rely on the mizonos, but drinking or hadama or something else that's not mizonos, you shouldn't have in the new location. And if it's a seven species, you should try not to leave without making your after blessing before going. But if you did, then either in the new location or when you return, you would not recite a new bracha when you would eat something from that blessing from ha'eitz or hagafen, depending on what you had, because of safek brachos lahakel. If you're in doubt whether it's a hesach hadas, you will not recite the bracha. So again, just to clarify the last thing, if you started off with seven fruits from Eretz Yisrael, and you leave somewhere else, you may continue to eat in a new place, since it's questionable whether or not you need a new bracha. You would not make a new bracha, but it's preferable to avoid that situation altogether. Okay. I guess keep on going, unless does anyone have any questions? I can't really tell if anyone. 1 second. Are you trying to ask?
You go to another.
Sandy, are you trying to ask a question?
I'm trying to ask a question. You want me to wait?
No. I couldn't hear you.
Well, okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you. Yeah. Yeah. Now I can hear you.
Okay. So, supposing that you wash. You take a zayas and you make a motzi, and then you leave the meal, you go to someplace else, and at the second place, they've made a motzi and everything, and they need you for mezuman, and they want you to stay there for the mezuman. So should you just do the mezuman, say the brachas, you know, answer the brachas for the mezuman, and then go back to the original place to do the brachas hamazon, or can you make the brachas hamazon at the second place?
So if you eat another kezayis in the second place, you are allowed to bench there.
You better be eating the second kezayis. If they want you for the mezuman, then you better eat another kezayis.
Yeah, but I think you're allowed to also eat there and then return to the original place. So I guess you have the option, if you want to eat there, you could eat something, you could even just answer the mezumin and return to your first place, continue eating even in the first place and bench in the first place. But yeah, you have the option because you washed, right? That's right. I can't really tell if anyone else is trying to ask any questions, but if anyone does, I'll wait another couple of seconds.
I have another question, but we have another class in a different Zoom. How long is this one going to continue? Do you know?
I think it's another two classes. Tell us.
No, I mean tonight. Is there how many more minutes?
Oh, just a couple more minutes. About five more minutes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, this question often comes up during Sukkot because people do sukkah hopping. And so they're going to a lot of different places, and sometimes they have something to eat at all kinds of different sukkahs.
Yeah, so the best thing there is to either wash or to have mizonos with the intention when you make the bracha that you're going to eat somewhere else also. And then you could continue hopping around wherever you want and eat there. And whenever you're done, you could either make the bracha korona there or you can return to the first place. Yes, that's a very good point. Okay, so I'll try starting the next thing for just the next 4 minutes. So the question is, what is considered a change of location? This is definitely has a lot of variables to it, but we'll try to go through it one by one, see what we get through. Right now, the original room is free from Hesach Hadas. If you're in a room which is indoors, which outdoors is a whole different topic, you're not going to get there tonight, but if you're indoors, and it doesn't matter how big the room, you know, you could be in a chasna hall. It could be a very large room, but anywhere in the room is all considered part of one place. And, you know, you could go from one part of the room to a different part of the room for a very long time. When you return, you do not need to make a new bracha, or if you want to eat in the place where you went to in that room, you can continue eating there. One room is never considered a Hesach Hadas. An area outside of a building is almost always considered a Hesach Hadas. So, a Shulchan Aruch talks about the case where someone was eating and their friend knocked on the door and they stepped outside of their house, outside of the roof of their house, to talk to their friend, and they went right back in. That is considered Hesach Hadas. And, you know, this is, again, we have to always first ask ourselves what the meal is. If they washed, this won't be a question. But if they were eating their cereal, which was cornflakes, so then that's going to be Hesach Hadas. And when they return from outside, they're going to have to make a new bracha. There may be certain variables here. If you could see the original place, if you could see your original place where you were sitting, like there's a window or something, or your door is open, then there might that's a big, big question. So initially, the point here is that a person should really try not to leave the building in a case where there's a real Hesach Hadas question. Again, where it's the type of food, or there aren't other conditions that can stop it from being a Hesach Hadas, a person should not initially try to leave their building. If they did leave their building, I'm not going to get into all the specifics, but if they did leave their building and they can see inside where they were eating from the place where they are, so then they would not recite new bracha when they come in. But those are the two more simple ones. The same room is not Hesach Hadas outside of the building, which means the roof, is considered a Hesach Hadas. Someone else's house or apartment is considered a Hesach Hadas. Again, with regards to foods, which Hesach Hadas is applicable to. This could happen. I at one point lived in an apartment building, and, you know, depending on how friendly people are with their neighbors, they could only have one bathroom, and someone needs a bathroom, you want to go to your neighbor's bathroom. That would be a Hesach Hadas, assuming, again, it's a type of food that there's a problem of Hesach Hadas. The rule is that we consider a building based on the roof and the ownership. So if it's all owned by one person and it's under the same roof, it doesn't matter if it's upstairs, downstairs, which that's really the next thing, that will be considered one place. But if you're going outside of the original building, outside of the roof, or into a location owned by someone else, that is going to be considered a Hesach Hadas. I think I'll cut it here and we'll pick it up next week. I did want to just end off with Svardim. The main difference for Svardim and Ashkenazim with these halachos are going to be that Svardim are going to have to be much more careful, even with if they wash. They have to be careful not to leave from the original location because they're going to be more, they're going to follow the Shulchan Aruch, who rules that that's a problem even when you wash, at least initially. But in the event that they did have a Shinamok and they left a different place, Meaning the point is for Svarnim, initially they should never have Oshina Makarim, even when eating bread. And after the fact, if they did have Oshina Makarim, the halacha will follow whatever the halacha is for Ashkenazim regarding whether you need a new bracha when you return or in the new place. Okay, that's the end of the shiur. If anyone wants to ask any questions, but the shiur is officially over, so...